Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell's Hotels. Yes, I'm a veggie foodie. I don't think people believe that, but yes, I don't eat meat. And I love the music, so I'm just going to let it play out here. But I don't eat meat. I don't eat anything right now with cheese, dairy, eggs, anything like that. So actually, as of the first of the year, I became a vegan, but I think that was more of just a challenge to see if I can do it. But 3-4 months, almost 4 months into it, I'm still doing it. So I can't complain. So I've lost some weight. I didn't do it purposely. I didn't do it because I needed to lose weight or I wanted to lose weight. I just want to do it as a challenge because I've been a vegetarian. Just kind of side note, I've been a vegetarian for about 12 years. And then over the last holidays, 2018, December, I kind of overdid it, meaning I was eating too many cakes and things like that because, as a vegetarian, you kind of, people will compensate for not eating meat and they'll start eating other stuff. So cakes, things like that, cookies, that's my vice. But now, as of the first year, like I said, I started, this whole vegan thing where there's still cakes and things like that, but they're not made, the ones I eat, are not made with eggs, butter, or any kind of dairy products. So no cheese, none of that stuff, no milk. I do drink milk, but that is almond milk or soy milk, preferably almond milk. So that's it. So yes, I do look for non-meat eats all the time everywhere I go. And I cook quite a bit. So you have to because it's too expensive. If you want to be a vegetarian or a vegan, it's really expensive to eat out all the time. So anyway, welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels. Thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock. High above the building, the studios on the fourth floor in Sherman Oaks, overlooking Notre Dame High School. I can see it from the window right here. Probably a 70-degree day, I think, kind of overcast here in the valley. Supposed to get some rain tomorrow from what I understand, but I welcome that. I welcome the cooler weather at any cost, believe me. But anyway, industry news. Let's get to it. Industry news. I don't know if you guys remember last week, one of the things I talked about was OTAs and how for hotel OTAs is not necessarily a good thing. Well, in the news this week, or actually the news was either from after the last show to today. So I think it was maybe Friday I saw this. It said OTAs. Now, the OTAs that they're specifically mentioning are talking about Expedia Group, which is ExpediasAndHotels.com, and then the Booking Holdings, which is a company that owns OpenTable, Kayak, and Booking.com. They spent over $10.6 billion in advertising and marketing for their OTAs. So, they're in it to win it, if you think about it. They're not trying to you know, they're not slowing down. They're spending more money than any hotel can ever spend, even combined. They're spending, probably one company is spending more than it, all hotel companies combined. They're spending more than they can even think of as far as their marketing budgets, because they're, like I said, they're in it to win it. And I think Google has stuff to do with that as well, because just think about it. The placement they get on Google, and I think I mentioned this, if you Google your brand or if you're a hotel, Google that hotel and see what comes up. Is it your hotel that's coming up first, or is it one of these OTAs or Expedias or Hotels.com or Reservations.com and things like that? Well, they're paying Google for placement over your hotel. So your hotel may be mentioned, but it's maybe two or three lines below where theirs is. So if they're spending $10.6 billion, believe me, I would be Googling every day to make sure that my placement is over theirs. And if I have to pay for the pay-per-click or Google Ads or whatever, that's what I would be doing if I was a hotel at this point. Because, like I said, they're in it to win it. So you need to do something about it or kind of slow them down. Because, I mean, they're here to stay. We know that they're here to stay, but I think we can minimize hotels. I say we, because I'm a hotel person too. Okay, so I'm tourism now. Okay, so but still, you know, I understand the games. I understand what happens. I understand that we all need to have more bookings. So they're in it. They're here to stay. But I think we can minimize the amount of the piece of pie that they get. There you go, Marriott Bonvoy. Who knows about that? Who heard about that? Who heard about the rebranding for the Marriott's new loyalty program? Well, it's called Marriott Bonvoy. So I'm sure, I think Super Bowl is the first time they put this out. And somebody asked me last week, like, what is Marriott Bonvoy? Is that another brand of Marriott? I said, I wasn't really sure. But now I'm sure, because I actually read up on this. So Marriott Bonvoy is the rebranded name for the Marriott's new loyalty program. Before it was called Marriott Rewards. So now that Marriott has merged or bought Starwood Hotels, this is the one program for all. It's for Marriott Hotels, Starwood Hotels, and Ritz-Carlton Hotels. So all three of them had their own separate. SBG was Starwood's. And I think Ritz-Carlton's was Ritz-Carlton Rewards, I believe. Well, this encompasses all three of them now. So Marriott Bonvoy. And what does Bonvoy mean? Bonvoy doesn't mean anything. It's not a word. It's just basically a term that Marriott came up with. They coined this term Bonvoy, which they interpret as meaning people experiencing the joy of good travel. Now, this is a quote from, I want to say it's Karine Timpone, T-I-M-P-O-N-E. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, and I do apologize for that. But she's the global marketing officer for Marriott. So I got this from Skift. So Skift is a hospitality publication. So I read thoroughly on that, and I looked at Bonvoy, and that's one of the things that came up. So Bonvoy is not a real word. However, people experiencing the joy of travel, of good travel, that's the word that they came up with, was Bonvoy. Well, that's what that means. What does Bonvoy mean? People experiencing the joy of good travel. There you go. So believe me, it's going to be one of those things that, you know, I used to work for Marriott. Marriott is cutting edge. I mean, they're always on top of things. The training is by far the best. And I'm the first one to admit that. And they will come up with some terms that you will drink the Kool-Aid eventually. So, I mean, we've seen that the last year, you know, some of the things that they've done. They bought Starwood. They reduce commissions for people like me from 10% to 7%. So people listen, and I mean, we either follow it, or we get sucked up somehow or get moved out of the way. So Bonvoy is going to be one of those new things. So remember, you heard it here first on Air with Russell of Hotels. Russell said that about the Bonvoy. That's what it means. Anyway, I have a question for you. More guest data. Equals a good guest experience. This is a question. If the more data that you get on a guest or a potential guest, will that better the guest experience? Are we using the data to enhance the guest experience? So it goes back to loyalty programs. Loyalty programs, I mean, they have profiles, right, that everyone fills out. And so they know things about you. I mean, okay, we like this or I like that. I like a room on the top floor. I like a king. I don't want to be next to the elevator. I drink, you know, Bud Light. I'm a vegetarian, things like that. Okay, so if people know that, that's information that's out there that's on my profile. Should that equal a better guest experience? Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure. But this is just a question that I was looking at, you know, some publication. I was reading that and I said, well, let me pose that question. And that's something to think about, right? Does that equal a better experience? The more information you have on someone, you would think, right? Especially in this day and age of social media and things like that, where people put out information about themselves. There's algorithms that will pick up certain things from profiles or what people put out, your Facebook page and, you know, the profiles and things, what you do and things like that. There's certain words that will come up to somebody, and it is gathered in this big data that people are talking about. So you would think the more information you get, the better you'll be able to create a better guest experience. I mean, that's the theory behind it. But are we doing it? I mean, are hotels doing a good enough job that you will use them, you will book direct opposed to booking through an OTA? I think that's where it needs to go. If it's not there yet, I mean, I think that's one way that hotels will do a better job of converting, you know, people to make reservations. If I'm on the fence with going with, you know, booking through an OTA or booking direct, you know, if they've heard that, you know, the experience at the whatever hotel, the XYZ hotel, is great because I know they have my information. I get what I want. I get a Bud Light when I check in. Yeah, I got to pay for it, but at least they've thought enough about it to put it in there, to put it in my room. Yeah, I know I have to pay for it. If I drink it, I have to pay for it, but at least it's there. And, you know, I just think that's, you know, like I said, the question again was, more guest data, does that equal a better guest experience? Think about it. My contact information, russell@russellofhotels.com is my email. Twitter, I am on @russellofhotels. IG, I'm @russellofhotels. LinkedIn, I'm @RussellL. Facebook, I have two pages. That's RussellL and Russell of Hotels. And then my website is www.russellofhotels.com. What is the Russell of Hotels? I can't even speak today. What is the Russell of Hotels group? Maybe I need to take some water. Because, you know, last week I was talking for 50 minutes straight, and I think I took two sips of water. And by the time I was done, I was so exhausted and my mouth was dry. So we're going to try to eliminate that or avoid that today. What is Russell of Hotels group? Hotel site selection. That's one thing that I do. So the group are the things that I do. So it's like maybe four things that I do. And that's the group. So it's not a group of people in here or in my office or whatever. No, it's a group of things that I do. So hotel site selection is one where I assist companies, organizations, even individuals with finding hotels for them at the rate or, you know, within their budget. I mean, you always ask, you know, what's your budget? What are you working with? And then we try to, or I try to link them with a hotel that will, you know, will accommodate what they're looking for or will give them what they're looking for. So, and I always tell people, if I wouldn't stay at the hotel, I'm not going to recommend that hotel to you if I wouldn't stay there. So that's one thing I always say. Digital marketing via social media. So I do a lot of things. You probably see some of the same platforms. I put a lot of things out there. If that's hotel related things, food. So most of the times it's hotel related stuff and food related stuff. That's what I do. I'm a hotel person. Tourism, anything that has to do with tourism, anything that has to do with food, specifically food that's non-meat eats. So if you looked at my last Twitter, well, over the weekend, I was at Native Foods. I happened to be in Palm Springs. In fact, a shout out to my dad who's in the hospital in Palm Springs. Hope he's doing better. Hope you're doing better. He listens to the show too. Hope you're doing better, and I'll give you a call later. So But I was there. I was there visiting him in the hospital. And then I said, after, you know, when I was on my way back to L.A., so let me stop at, you know, Native Foods. I know they have one there. They have one in Westwood here in L.A. and then one there. So I said, let me stop there. So I got this barbecue brisket burger. Delish. That's all I can say. Delish. So if you're ever near Native Foods and it's no meat, it's all vegan. The cheese is vegan. The meat is vegan. Bacon is vegan of some sort, or it's some type of seitan is what they call it. A mixture of different things, but it's all plant-based. So right up my alley, right? So I do, you know, postings for social media, not just for food, but for hotels, things like that, tourism, hotel and destination video production as well. In fact, I did one. If you checked out my LinkedIn page, I did one of the Hilton Costa Mesa. That's the last one I did. I actually did that last Thursday, and I think I posted that on last Friday. So check that out. And also, I'm a radio show host. So On Air with Russell of Hotels is part of the group where I interview today's hospitality professionals, with the exception of last week and today. So I don't have anybody that I'm interviewing today because what happened, there was a conflict with two guests. So I had, you know, you always want to have a backup plan, right? Well, I guess I need three backup plans now, because my original one, he couldn't do it because he had a, you know, a late call or something like that. He's on the East Coast. And then my second person, she's busy, you know, that kind of stuff. So so we had to reschedule both of them. So hopefully I think I have one next week. So I'll keep you posted on that. You'll see that my postings on that, who will be the next guest. But I'm okay with talking, you know, about just hotel hospitality things that are educational, things like that. So hopefully I'm not boring you with this conversation. Who's on blast? Now, I put people on blast. It's the same people every week until they call me, email me, or get in contact with me somehow. You're on blast. So what that means is these are people that I want on the show. I want them to come here and talk to me. I mean, I'll come to you if I have to. So don't think that you have to come to the studio. I will come to you to do the show. So who's on blast? Larry Broughton, CEO of Broughton Hotels. Brian Churchill, Vice President of LA Tourism. Nelly, a.k.a. Foodie Call. She is a influencer, food influencer here in LA that goes to all these great places. And I just want to see how she started off and things like that. And I think she'd just be interesting to talk to. Luis Torres, he's with Universal Studios. Kenya Bannister Stamps, Associate Vice President of Sales and Service for Long Beach CVB, or Visit Long Beach. Quick thank you. I want to thank Selena Torres, Hilton Costa Mesa, for last week's site inspection of her property. Very nice property. A lot of space. I mean, they have about 368 rooms. I hope I'm right on that. Somewhere around there. I put it on my website, or I put it on all my platforms, social media, I mean, Twitter, LinkedIn, everything. So it's out there. But a lot of space, a lot of functional space. They had two things going on, I believe, and just, you know, it was great. I mean, just a lot of their foyers are huge, you know, for breaks and things like that, or booths. I mean, you can do 6-foot booths. I mean, I think they can. I mean, they can. It's a serious amount of space. I'll just put it like that. I mean, I'm rambling, but it's a serious amount of space. So you need a lot of space for meetings. They have like 15 to 22 breakouts, something like that. So great. So I want to thank Selena Torres for that. Also, shout out to her colleagues, Mr. Terry Williams and Mr. Ripley Vaughn, their sales managers there. And I also want to thank their GM, Mr. Jeff Fuller. Now, GMs, you know, it's kind of hit and miss on how they do things. And I'm going to say this because I appreciate Mr. Fuller coming out and actually saying hello and, you know, thanking me for coming by and things like that. Because a lot of GMs I'm finding, and these are people that I've worked with and people that I've experienced at being a hotel site selection person, they don't always come out and speak to you. Okay, so that's a good thing. So that tells me a lot right there about that property, about the staff, about the GM. Okay, because I did this talk last year with this group of ladies. It's called the Lynx Organization. They do a lot of Smurf business, for those people that know what SMURF is. SMURF stands for, SMURF is an acronym for social, military, educational, religious, fraternal, or ethnic. And E can be at the end of that SMURF too. So you can put ethnic on the at the tail end of that if you want for the E, another E. So it stand that, I mean, that's a lot of business that comes in. There's specific sales managers that had that are that do SMURF business. Okay, there's SMURF sales managers that would be dying for business like this. So I said that to say this. I was asked to be a guest speaker for the Lynx organization, who is a SMURF group. And one of the things I talked about was meeting the GM. I said, do you have, when you do site selections, I mean, you normally assign a sales manager, that's SMURF sales manager. They show you around, things like that. They may even have lunch with you. And I asked, I said, does the GM ever come out? And some of them, it was most people said no, they never met the GM. And I said, I don't know if this was the right thing to say, but I said, if the GM doesn't come out, I wouldn't book there. Simple as that, because they have to realize the amount of business that the potential amount of business that you can bring. Okay, so as a director of sales and marketing, I would always ask my GM to be there. And for every sales manager that I have, I always made sure I said, hey, when you do a site inspection or lunch, you're entertaining someone, let me know. I want to come in and say hello. I always try to bring the GM around along with me, but sometimes they didn't. That can be the difference between your competition, okay? Who you're booking with versus who you're not going to book with. So if I went to 5 hotels and only one hotel the GM came out, guess who I'm going to book with? Probably with them if it crosses all the, you know, the T's or dots all the I's or checks all the boxes. If they're all related, everything even, the difference is going to be the experience that you got when the GM came out there. Because that means a lot, that the man, the top person, top man, top woman, whoever comes out, whoever the GM is, they come out and say, hello, thank you for being here. We appreciate you. You have any more business or whatever that is? I'm all ears, right? So I'm just saying that for GMs that don't come out, I think you're missing a golden opportunity to get more business. Just a thought, just me. The words I say are my words. They're no one else's words. But I just think that GMs, if you don't go out and meet your clients, potential clients, I think you're missing a great opportunity. That's all I'm saying. So thank you, Jeff Fuller, for coming out. And you guys treated me to lunch. You guys, we did a lot of things. We talked, we laughed, and we had a good time. So thank you very much. And if you have time, check out the video that I did for them. No guests today. Like I said, I had a scheduling conflict. So you're going to have me, and that's it. So what do you think about that? I don't know. But last week, I wrote down 22 things that I was going to talk about. Now, I got through about 6 of those things last week. So guess what? I've added to that list. And for people that didn't listen to me last week, I said how I came up with this list. I used something that a comedian had used. He said he had balled up pieces of paper and put them in a fishbowl in his living room. So every time he came home, he would go to the fishbowl, take a piece of paper out, and would have a word on it. And he would have to do a skit, 15, 20-minute skit, on whatever that word was. So what I did was taking that same concept and just wrote either words or phrases or a sentence, and then can I talk, you know, can I expound on whatever that subject is? Like last week, OTA was one of them. So I think I beat that one up last week. So but I still have a couple more. One of them is social media consistency. What does that mean? If we're doing social media, if we're, you know, tweeting things, if we're putting things on IG, if we're doing things on Facebook, it has to be consistent. So it's fine to do it, but it has to be consistent. Are we doing it 3 times a week? Is it every day? I mean, I post things almost every day. I mean, but that's me. And the reason why I do that is, well, the more information you put out, the more information people are going to want from you, and the more people are going to follow you. So, I mean, that's basically, especially if it's good content that you're putting out there, if it's photos or videos, let me tell you this, videos are the best, okay? Photos,
You'll get some, you know, some interaction depending on what the photo is. But if you do a video, you're going to get more hits than you can imagine. So if you're doing things on social media, try to, if say you're doing three postings a week, at least one of them, maybe two, should be a video of some sort. So if that's your rooms, if that's what's going on in the area, anything that's associated with your hotel or the area, your destination, you can do that. So, I mean, yeah, maybe people don't want to see your hotel all the time unless there's really something going on that's exciting there. You know, you had, you know, specials, this special, that special, or you had entertainment, or you're near, say, Universal Studios. Say your hotel near Universal Studios. So, of course, a lot of stuff will maybe would be involving Universal Studios, your hotel, maybe your shuttle, you know, things like that. So you have to be consistent with that. So that's one thing that I can say I learned from a couple of my social media mentors, like Jason Will, who was a guest a couple of weeks ago, Scott Eddy, who is, you know, kind of, I think, a guru in social media. He basically said, hey, you have to be consistent. And this guy, he probably posts things, I don't know, probably 30 times a day. I mean, depending on what he's working on. And he's engaging and things like that. So that's what it's all about. It's about posting and being engaging. Because if people respond to you, you want to make sure you're engaging with them as well. So be consistent with your social media. That's on IG, IGTV, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, whatever that is. Just be consistent with that. Disruptive marketing. What is that? Well, I take it as being, well, this is my definition. I'm not sure what the real definition is, but going against the grain of your traditional past marketing methods or practices. Going against the grain. So I always look at, what is my competition doing? Is my competition putting things out, or are they doing renovations, or what is the competition doing? So I go totally opposite of what they're doing. Are they doing the traditional things? Are they doing the enhanced listings and things like that? I mean, these things you can find out, and this is for, you know, like hotel people, even tourism people can do this, even tourism board, CVB, you know, what is your competition doing? I mean, how are they getting people to their destination and they're not coming to yours? What is it? And I always say the difference between this hotel and the one across the street is your marketing efforts and the people. That's it, because everyone has a bed, everyone has a restaurant. Okay, everyone uses feather pillows and foam pillows. I mean, it's all the same. So what's the difference? Are you serving something different? Are you doing vegan food? If you are, I'm going to be there. But are you doing something different? I mean, like I said, we're all here to put heads in beds or butts in beds. That's the, for you non-hotel people, that's what we say. We say, oh, we need heads in beds or butts in beds or whatever. So what are they doing different? So social media, are they doing social media? That should be the norm now. But believe me, with some hotels, it's not the norm. It's something new. They're like, oh my God, you heard the social media thing? We should start posting on that. Believe me, there's some of them out there. But so do that. So find out what your competition is doing and do the opposite. Do something different. You know, I don't know. DOS is, jumping from the ceiling to the pool, from the roof to the pool. No, that's a joke. But just do things differently. Because social media is something that's created an even playing field, right? So everyone has social media now. You know, before it was like the big advertisers, they can do things, but we couldn't do it. So we had to go through them to get things done. You know, your PR companies, your advertising companies, you know, you got to pay money to do that. Well, now guess what? You can do it yourself, right? Or you can hire someone to do it, like a Russell Hotels, to do it for you. But it's actually, you know, do things against the grain. What is your competition not doing? And then do that. And also regarding that, I think I'm done with that. I'm sorry. That was disruptive marketing. Personalized experiences. And someone, a guy that does a radio show, he had posted something today about personalized experiences. I'm like, Yeah, that's, and I think I mentioned that earlier too. We get all this data, and but are we doing a good job of personalized experiences? What are we doing with the data that we're collecting from loyalty programs? So make sure that we're doing that. I ended the show last week with Wi-Fi targeting, and these are marketing trends. So it was Wi-Fi targeting and geofencing, which are marketing trends for 19 and 20. Excuse me while I take a sip of water. I'm a little parched. So Wi-Fi targeting, I'll rehash that again, or I'll go over that again for people that didn't hear it, or maybe people didn't understand, or just for people to say, well, didn't you say this already? Well, I'm going to say it again. Wi-Fi targeting. So I actually gave an example of this. So I was in Cincinnati at my daughter's graduation, right? That was the week she graduated, last May, and we're at the mall. And for people that know me, I don't like malls. So I'm finding the food court somewhere I can sit down and check what? And check my social media. So what I did was I went on their Wi-Fi. So when you get in there, instantly say, okay, you want to connect to Wi-Fi. So I connect to their Wi-Fi, and instantly I get this push notification from Victoria's Secrets. 40% off Victoria's Secrets. I'm like, you know, this is great, because if I was in the Victoria's Secrets, I would have been there and, you know, bought things because things were 40% off, right? Well, and I started thinking, now I heard about, you know, Wi-Fi targeting before, but I never had experienced it until then. So I saw this and I'm like, wow, now what if hotels could use the same tool? So it goes through your Wi-Fi. Some hotels have free Wi-Fi, some don't. But say you have free Wi-Fi. Okay, so you have free Wi-Fi. They come in your hotel door. It, you know, they want to get in your Wi-Fi. You know, whatever the code is, I mean, it's free, so just log in, bam. And then what's the first push notification? Is that going to be something in your restaurant? Is it, you know, you're trying to get more direct bookings? You want people to book on your site versus an OTA? So that it kind of covers that, both of them, right? So you got outlets that need people to go and eat, right? You have employees that are working there. You don't want to cut hours. So wouldn't that be a good idea, a good tool to do Wi-Fi targeting? You already have Wi-Fi set up. So what it does, so they have, there's a separate little device that goes on top of the router that hooks up to the router. So if you got, you know, I don't know, if there's 300 rooms, you may have 300 access points. Well, companies will give you 300 of these access points or these devices to put on your routers. So whenever a device goes through there, whatever your message is, it will hit your cell phone. So, you know, I know we all have signs throughout our hotels and, you know, this special, that special, but people forget about that, right? But if it hits your phone, you're taking this everywhere. So if I'm there for 3 days, guess what? It's still on my phone, okay? So it'll go through your, it can be an email or it'll go through your text messages, one of the two. I mean, it can be pictures. It can be just text. I mean, I'm sure people have seen this before and not knowing what the heck, well, how'd they even get my information? Well, sometimes if you go through a, like I said, a Wi-Fi, a place that has Wi-Fi, that's it'll hit that. And then automatically, once you go through there, you're going to start getting push notifications. Now, if for people that aren't into that, they don't want that, I'm going to opt out of this. I don't want this. I don't want to get the push notifications. Click, you don't get them. But for people that want them, you can get them. So for hotels, I mean, I don't know what the capture ratio is anyway. What is the capture ratio for if you have a sign in your lobby? How many people actually see that sign and go to your restaurant? There's probably no way of knowing that, right? But if you have this set up right in your hotel, you will know when the people go to your restaurant. It's based on the device of the phone. You know, where are they going? Once they're in their hotel, you'll know where they're going. So if they, you know, saw, they got the notification, they went to the restaurant, boom, done. And then through your micros or whatever system you're using, basically a Wi-Fi ad. Okay, that's how you found it. So for marketing and tracking purposes, there you go. So geofencing is something a little different. is a little more broader. So Wi-Fi technology or Wi-Fi targeting is for in your specific building. So if you're a hotel, you got, like I said, you have meeting space and you have ancillary, like a market inside your hotel or a restaurant, whatever. So those people that are going to a function, a banquet, maybe they need something. Click, okay, oh, there's a store, a market downstairs where I can get something. So you can go do that or for the guest or whatever. So everyone will be hit by that. Now, geofencing is quite a little different, where it works on GPS, so you can actually section off a whole area. So I'm not sure what street I'm on. I'm on Woodman, and I don't know the cross street here, but let's just say you just take Woodman's on the west. I don't know what's over there. Ventura's on the east or north. So north, south, east, and west. Just say four streets. Whatever's in between there, that's where your geofence is. So anything that crosses that fence will hit that phone, right? So you'll know that device hit the phone, right? So as long as you have that device, that same phone, you'll be able to track where they are. That's where, you know, Google and all these tech companies, they know where you go because of the GPS in your phone, right? So it's called geofencing. It's a type of marketing, and it is a marketing trend that is on the rise. So say I'm at a convention, Pasadena, let's just say Pasadena. Well, I want to know exactly who's been in that convention center, you know, on a given day, how many people have gone through, and if any of those people have gone from the convention center into my hotel. Well, you can track that. Once they go through there and they keep the same device, you will figure out what their buying habits are. You know where they go. You know if they come in your hotel. You can send them ads and things like that. You'll know if that person actually utilized that ad. I mean, there's a lot of things that these things can do. But sometimes that's kind of scary. Yeah, okay, maybe it is, but it's marketing. Is marketing scary? I don't know. I mean, what other, come up with something else and let me know. And then we'll compare scary versus non-scary. But let me tell you this. You go to trade shows. We all go to trade shows and you get a band. It's for your room. Okay. It has the, what is it called? God, I can't think of what it's called now. It starts with an I, IMD, whatever the room key, the new room keys where you have access to, or you just have to touch it with your room key and it unlocks. I can't think of the type of key it is, but they have that same thing for major conventions. They have it in a wristband like this. So it unlocks your door of your hotel room, but it also tracks where you're going. So if you notice, you go through some of these doors in the convention center, it has this big mat. You think that mat is just a mat. Well, it's not just a mat. It's a mat that collects data. So once you cross over that and you have this on, it keeps track of where you're going, because people at trade shows, they want to know how many people have been in the trade show and people have come to this booth. If you say you were there, well, you don't have to say it anymore because it's tracking you. So for people that go to trade shows all the time, especially hotel people, tourism people, meeting planners and hotel site selection, They're doing that now. So we always think that, well, they don't know where I am. Well, okay, all right, hold on to that thought. So just remember that next time you go to a trade show, they give you a wristband. The wristband is to track where you're going, because they want to make sure, people want to make sure they're getting their ROI, meaning the people that say they're going to come to by my booth, I'm going to talk to them, that they actually did. So that's the reason for that. There you go. Value dates. What's a value date? A value date is basically a hotel that maybe they have a low period during say in June, between June 1st and June 15th, they don't have any groups on the book. So that's a need date, but it can come off as a value date for you because now they're giving, you know, less expensive rates during that period of time. So if you're a group or, you know, potential group and you're not going through Russell of Hotels, you always should go through Russell of Hotels. The first thing I'll ask, do you have any, first of all, I'll ask the client, what are your
alternate dates because they're going to say, well, the date I want is June 15th through the 17th. I said, well, do you have any alternate dates? Well, we can do the week after. Okay. Then that way I can go to the hotel and say, hey, these are the dates, but these are the alternate dates. So maybe one of those dates they may have, you know, need period of time, meaning they want business on this date. They don't need business on the first one, but they need business on the second date. So I can go back to the client and say, hey, you can get a better rate, maybe $10 per room cheaper if you go on the alternate date. And, you know, that's up to them to take it or leave it. But always ask the hotel, do you have any need dates or value dates? Okay. Last year, back in July, I did this. I wrote an article. Believe it or not, I wrote an article. And it basically was entitled, Who Owns the Guest? And some of the stuff that I've just talked about is going to kind of tie this in together. So who owns the guest? Because, you know, a lot of people, and this is comparing Google, Amazon, and Airbnb. So for your average hotel person, they probably say, well, Airbnb, that's what we're losing business to. Well, you may be losing business to Airbnb, but who has your profile? Who has your buying habits and your data? Well, as Google and Amazon, who buys through Google? Who does Google searches and their name comes up and all this information comes up? Okay, who does Amazon? That you know Amazon Prime getting this next day and all that. Well, there's information involved in that, right? So, wouldn't it be good for those two companies to get in the travel space too? Okay, so I think Airbnb is less of a threat than Google and Amazon. So my time's winding down, but I'm going to kind of read this article. I'm going to kind of paraphrase it, but I'm going to stop on certain points. But it has to do with who owns the guest. And this was something that I had saw somewhere, but then I kind of expounded on the whole thing and came up with my own synopsis of what I think or who I think owns the guest. So, okay, so here it goes. Which is the biggest threat to take your customers or guests? The obvious choice would be Airbnb. Remember, I gave the examples of Google, Amazon, and Airbnb, since they operate in the same space as hotels. But take it a step further. Who else is trying to get into the travel hospitality space? Yes, Google and Amazon. Who owns a lot of your data and knows your buying habits? Yes, Google and Amazon. What are we? Hold on one second. What are we doing as hospitality professionals to keep our guests? Question, are we still using the same resources to attract new clients? Are you moving market share, or are we just ever to the same people and promoting your brand to the same guests who are now buying the same product or service at a cheaper price or rate? These challenges are what keeps at least two CEOs from the largest hotel companies up at night. Now, the two CEOs, one was Mr. Arne Sorensen with Marriott. So they know that there's an issue between the data that's going to Google as well as Amazon.com. Airbnb wasn't even mentioned. I mean, they said it was one of the three. Okay, yeah, Airbnb, they're taking, you know, market share, whatever. But they admit or they know that Google and Amazon are issues. So, but it's funny, I'll ask hotel people, who are your biggest threats? And Google and Amazon never come up. Because they're looking at it from traditional ways. You know, it's a hotel. You got to remember, the OTAs, they don't own any hotels. Just like Google and Amazon don't own any hotels. But what they do own is more valuable than the hotels. Your data. That's what they own. So I wouldn't be surprised. And I'm sure this is what's happening. Google, the OTAs, Amazon all get together. And that data, I mean, they're going to be a strong force. If they're not a strong force now, give it a couple years. They will be a strong force, stronger force. So just remember that. So you have to be able to combat what's going on electronically. And a lot of that has to do with our social media presence. Are we getting involved in social media? Are we being consistent? Some of the same things that I talked about earlier, that's going to affect, you know, being able to get that business away from them. One thing that we have over them is that the emotional connection.
Okay, emotional connection, meaning you can change someone's, if someone had a bad experience, you can change it before they leave, right? They come to the front desk, they're complaining. What do we do when they come to complain? I mean, we have to try to make it right for them, but whatever that is, right? Before they leave the building, we need to try to make it right. Well, Google and Amazon, Airbnb, I don't think they're doing that, right? So say you didn't get your Amazon package. Are they coming to your house and say, oh, we're sorry for this, nothing, nothing? No, but us as hoteliers, we can change that. We can change the scenario before they leave, you know, because once they leave, once they get that guest service evaluation or whatever we're calling it these days, they can put whatever they want to put at that point. Well, they still can do that. But you, if you can stop it, if you know about this issue that they're having, you have you can change it. Right. So that goes for. You know, managers need to be visible. They need to be taking, you know, if there's complaints, they need to talk. They need to talk to people. GMs need to be out of their offices and make sure we're being that we're taking care of people that are emotional in the lobby that may be leaving because of something. We need to make things right. So that's where that came from. So I'm gonna finish this. Most of us are not. The roles of directors of sales and marketing and general managers have changed. No longer can you sit in your office or in meetings the better part of the day. These are the days of gathering big data, personalization, engagement, and connecting on an emotional level with our current and potential guest. Connecting on an emotional level is what we have over Google, Amazon, and Airbnb. How many times has a representative from Google, Amazon, or even Airbnb called you and thanked you for anything about your purchase or your stay? I can't remember that. Have they? Do they? Tell me if they do. As hotel leaders, our guests come into our hotels daily, and we're able to connect with them on an emotional level. We have a captive audience. However, some of us don't realize the power of the information that can be received from our guests. Branded hotels with their loyalty programs have it a little easier. However, even those programs need to be revamped and offer greater perks for your loyal guests. The better the loyalty program, the better data you receive. Remember, we talked about that earlier. I asked that question. If you get more data, does that equal a better experience? That's where personalization comes in. And I haven't even addressed the lifestyle or indie hotels who sometimes don't even have loyalty programs that they can even opt into. But if there's an option, you know, we need to consider going with that. And I'm specifically talking about the lifestyle or the independent hotels. Bottom line, if we don't begin thinking outside of our hospitality boxes, we too will be up all night wondering why companies that are not hospitality driven are owning our guests. So this article that I wrote, I reposted it again yesterday on LinkedIn. So if you get a chance, take a look at it in its entirety. I mean, I read the whole thing. I didn't paraphrase. I read the whole thing. So it's a quick read. It's not that, I mean, you'll understand it. So it's a good thing. So I just kind of think of certain things that in my experiences, you know, what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? And, you know, believe me, I was not perfect or anything like that. But when you step away and you kind of look, you got to, an aerial view of what's going on, especially if you're a hotel site selection person now, right? So I can see the things that I was, you know, deficient in as a director of sales and marketing, or even back in operations when I was in operations years ago. What was I deficient in, right? And now with the day of social media, things can get out of control pretty quickly because information can go out quickly, right? So we have to stop that. And this is basically customer service 101 or sales 101, right? This is nothing. Social media has nothing to do with just taking care of guests. I mean, are we doing that? Are we doing everything we can for the guests? Because that's what it's all about. Hospitality is about taking care of the guests. If that's in a hotel, if that's in a restaurant, if that's at your destination, it's all about interacting and taking care of guests. So I think that's just something that, I mean, not all hotels are lacking in it, but there's a few. And believe me, I go in the hotels every week. Some of them are good. Service is good. And you'll know as soon as you drive up. One of the best experiences I've ever had was, I think, I want to say the Hotel Irvine, which is in Irvine, right? From when I drove up, they were just, I mean, on top of the car. Good afternoon. Good morning. Are you here for a meeting? I'm here for a meeting. Okay, which one is it? Okay, go to the left. Front desk is right there. Restaurant's here. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, just everything. I wasn't checking in. I was just a guest that was attending a meeting there. But they were on top of that from start to finish. And when I finally got to, you know, to retrieve my car, they were still on it. You know, it was just, I had never experienced that before at one of the hotels in Irvine. But Hotel Irvine, they were out of control. So, I mean, I always give credit where credit is due. So if I get the great experience, there you go. Even at the Hilton Costa Mesa last week, the bellman, because I didn't come out right away, and I think I needed some change or whatever. He gave me change. I mean, a lot of times they don't have singles. You know, go to the front desk. No, he made sure I was taken care of. Do you need some water? You know, I have cold water or room temperature water. I'm like, what? Okay, I get a choice? Okay, well, then there you go. And that's what it's all about. I mean, that's hospitality. That's what we're in this business for, is to be hospitable. So that's it. I'm almost out of time. Next week we have a guest, and that way you don't have to like, dang, that Russell, he's something else. He went off on us today. No, that's not what it's all about. It's about knowledge that, of course, that I've maybe gotten or received over the years through my training and things like that, or just experiences. I mean, that's what it's all about. And that's one of the reasons why I want to start the show, because it has to do with hospitality, people, they're in their experiences, because no two people in this industry have the same experience. We all come from different places. We all went to different schools, or maybe some of us didn't even go to school. That's fine. But we bring some unique things to the table. And that's why I wanted to have the show, to get different perspectives, because there's no right or wrong. I mean, these are things that we do. Are there things we can do right or better? Oh, heck yeah. Do we drop the ball sometimes? Yes, we do. Every hotel drops the ball. Okay. Now, I just gave you two good experiences, but I can go a whole day without giving you some bad ones too, but it's not about that. It's just about, you know, whatever we're doing, we need to all the good stuff we need to continue to do. The bad stuff we need to stop. Okay. Because what separates you from your competition? That's what it's all about. Is the competition doing that? Then we need to be doing something totally different. Are we using the same methods that everyone else is using, marketing, whatever? We need to try something else. We need to be disruptive in our marketing efforts. I mean, just think about it. Think about who are the top social media people. I'm just throwing social media people out there. Like I said, everything's on an even playing field now. You got the Kardashians, right? They started this whole thing. If you like them or not, okay, they started this whole thing. These people are making millions of dollars off of what they do on social media. And some things are good. Some things are, you know, on the edge, right? But if you're looking at, you know, what people are doing, they're doing something. I mean, because some advertisers are lined up to be in business with them. So there you go. So, but, you know, that's separate than what we do. But we need to be in the game is what it comes down to. It's an even playing field. You don't have to be a big organization to do things on social media. You don't have to rely on the traditional ways of advertising that we've been doing for years. I mean, we can do different things, and we can be disruptive and be effective, but be consistent. So anyway, thank you so much for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. I will see you next Tuesday, and I'm out.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.